You're gonna do. Dance with my wife. Side of the room. Worship. Thanks for being here, eh? Yeah, sing it up. Thank you. Good way to start out, huh? Welcome. Good morning. Have you here? Beautiful Sunday, Lord's Day. I wish you all a very happy holiday, safe holiday. I hope you know how blessed we are to be able to live in this place, in this country, where there is clean water and clean air and enough food and good hospitals and good education. And, I mean, If you've ever been any place where they don't have it, you sure appreciate what we have. Today is Canada Day, by the way, so our Canadian friends from the north, 1867, for you history buffs, they became free. And a few days earlier or later, we celebrate 1776. City boys, city slickers, get up here and worship with us hillbillies of the north. They say anybody east of Brainerd fits that mode. So, John Yulin, introduce everybody down the road. Have a safe and happy holiday, and very much for coming. Let's begin our morning with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely to the beginning of this day. We pray that our hearts and our eyes might be open to the wonders of your creation. We pray that we might be sensitive to the needs of others. We thank you for the gift of music, for your love, for your son's sacrifice, for the promise of life in the age to come, and for all the benefits that we enjoy in this country. As we separate ourselves from the cares of the day for this 1 hour, we pray that your Spirit might move in our hearts and in our lives. We can see you at work. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all the songs that are here are some of my favorite tunes. I was selfish here and asked for these tunes. This one up by the Impressions, People Get Ready. Listen to the words. Join if you like this. I don't want to ruin Pat and Mark. Voices, but this is the one. Get ready, there's a train a coming. You got your ticket? You don't? Lord. Please turn to your book. Lord, you are the God of the vast universe. How safe we feel when we journey with you and are secure in the knowledge that you are with us. Your love and kindness does that to us. On this day of celebration, let us seek first the true satisfaction that comes from spiritual hunger. Let us enjoy the gifts God grants us through Jesus, His Son. Take all you need, fill up your emptiness. Now think for a moment also of all the beautiful daily gifts God sends us. Let's join in the prayer of the day. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The first readings concerning freedom from Galatians 5th chapter, Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And from the Gospel according to the 8th chapter of St. John, "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Thank you.
You guys are having too much fun. Ah, I see your grin, John, from ear to ear. Yeah, thanks for coming. Yeah, this really, really means a lot to us. That last song was written by a guy. After he wrote this, he became a Muslim. So I want to get you to think about, Muslims go to heaven? Or because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, are they condemned to hell? Just something to think about on the journey, okay? About that later on. Cat Stevens says his idea is ooh-ah-ee-ah-ooh-ah. Mine is holy. When something hits me, it's holy. We take Jesus. All the things we read in the Bible, you know, don't have a lot of impact on us. I mean, in the first service, we heard about the healing of Jairus' 12-year-old daughter. She was declared dead. Jesus raised them. You know, and we just give it lip service. And I think, you know what? If that was my daughter who was healed and come back to life, I'd say, holy smokes. There was a woman who was menstruating for 12 years. Couldn't stop. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And we hear that, and big deal. But I say, holy smokes. Last week, we had Jesus falling asleep on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, same size as Mille Lacs Lake. Big winds come up. He's sleeping. All of a sudden, they wake him up. He shakes his head and looks at him and says, have you no faith? And he stands in front of the boat and raises his arms and says, peace! Be still! And the winds obeyed and the waves settled down. Another story from John. He's walking across the water. Well, we do that in the winter here, but this was in the summer, you know? And Peter says, can I come out? And he walks on water. I say, holy smokes! But we just give it lip service. I've heard stories. I was down in Memphis, home of the other king, Elvis. Sorry. Anyway, I was at a church down there, and the preacher was going on. He was telling about a member of his church. He said she was driving her van on the freeway in Memphis, and her son in the back seat, 3 years old or 2 years old, climbed out of the children's seat and was starting to went over and started opening the door. And there's traffic around. And she slams on her brakes and hollers at the top of her voice, Jesus! And this baby falls out, rolls, and stops. And a car comes and stops about that far from the baby's head. I say, holy smokes, you know. Is that God? I've heard stories about, and you have too, people being healed. I heard a story just the other day about she's grandmother. She's like in her 90s. The family's gathered around. She's taking her last breaths. And all of a sudden, the daughter sees a glow about her mother. And this mother sits up and raises out her arms and smiles the sweetest smile. And she asks me, what's that all about? And all I can say is, holy smokes. You know, what's that all about? What's that all about? Do you have these holy smoke moments where you see God at work? Story where it's a backwards holy smokes, okay? Something I'm not really very proud of. When my wife and kids and I were missionaries in Southeast Asia, there was a young lady named Kwantai. Some of you have heard the story before, but there's a new twist to it you haven't heard. Kwantai, age 12, started going to the Christian church. Her family was Buddhist. Father, after a month, she would disappear on Sunday mornings, asked Kwantai where she was going to church or what she was doing on Sunday mornings. She says, I'm going to the Christian church. Now, in the Buddhist tradition, during the seventh month, they call it the Feast of the Hungry Ghost. All Buddhists gather at the temple. They buy temple money. They make burn all this money because when they think when you die, they go to the next kingdom, and it's the relations that live on afterwards who have to make offerings for them. We would see, they would not only burn money and incense to open up the heavens, but we would see people buy big Mercedes cars made out of paper and balsa wood. I even saw a helicopter once that they burned up for the family in the next kingdom. Now, the father of Quanti says he was thinking he was going to lose his support in the next kingdom. She had two sisters and a brother. He was thinking the other siblings might follow and we're going to be paupers forever in eternity. And so every time she went to church, when she came home, she was caned. She had bruises and marks. She was caned through high school, through college. When I met her, she was working at a bank as an accountant. Now, her father fell ill, went into a coma, was in the hospital, 11 days in the hospital in a coma, and he woke up, and the first words out of his mouth were not, "Where is my wife or what am I doing?" but, "Send me Quanti." And Quanti was called from her work. She got in a cab, went to the hospital, went to her father's bedside. He awakened and said, "What must I do to be a Christian?" And she said, with tears in her eyes, "Father, you must believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized." And that's where I came on the scene. So I worked with the father, and then the mother got involved and the other siblings. And about 6 months later, we baptized them. And they became Christians and members of the church. When you think about that, that's a holy smoke moment. That now he didn't have to fear having relations, provide for them in the next kingdom, but the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord had died so that they will have no more tears and no more sorrow and no more suffering. Okay, that's the story. Now I'm telling this story to my Bible studies, to my churches, to different churches and places across the land. I'm up in Holden Village a couple of years ago. Holden Village is in the Cascade Mountains church camp retreat center. And I share this story. And afterwards, a gal who was about my age, a few years younger. I think I'm younger than I really am. She must have been in her 40s, sorry. Anyway, she says, "Could I talk to you a minute?" And she said, "You better stop telling that story." And I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "I know Buddhists. And Buddhists are peace-loving people. Buddhists will not swat a fly if it lands on the table." And I said, "Tell me more." She says, "That's a story of abuse." And I've been telling this story and thinking it's so great. And I'm telling and promoting this abuse business of another religion. And I think to myself, holy smokes. Holy smokes. How bad is that? How bad is that to degrade another religion? But then I had the thought, sometimes when we think we're so smart and we have all the answers and we know what the truth is, maybe we better think again, because God's Holy Spirit might be wanting to do a new thing and might be wanting to teach us a new thing. And that Holy Spirit, that holy smoke moment, snuck up behind me in the back, came in the back door. Another holy smoke moment came to me. That holy smokes. My older brother is a Finlander, 65 years old, Willie. I told a little story about him last week, but he's a borderline introvert, extrovert. He doesn't talk a lot. And let me give you an example of what I say when he's a Finlander. When he was in high school, his guidance counselor said, "Billy, you don't have the grades to get in. You're not college material. Why don't you go to the mill and start working there, get a job?" I was up in Cloquet. And you tell a Finlander, forget it. Don't do it. He's going to do it. So in 4 years, he got his math degree and taught math for a couple of years. Then he went to and got his master's in counseling and counseled a few years at Superior State. Then he quit and went to the mill and worked. Finlander. Willie works at the mill until he's 56, sold out from Northwest Paper, Potlatch, to Sappi, a South African company. They fire everybody and they only hire half of them back, and he's higher salary than everybody, so they don't hire him back, so he's unemployed. How you try and adjust all this, he worked, scabbed away a little bit, but went through some states of depression and all the rest, but a year ago, he started talking about homeless people. He says, He started talking to his wife about, he got a nice home on a lake, one of those small lakes out of Barnum. Beautiful home overlooking this lake. And he said, let's sell this place and buy a little trailer and throw beer cans in the front and let the grass grow. Won't have to pay so much taxes. Finlander, okay? You know what I'm talking about. You guys do the same thing. Anyway, his wife says, we are not going to do this. This is my home. This is our home. You want to do that, do it on your own, you know. But he talks about the homeless people and how he's going to be homeless. And he talks about it and we forget about it. But I've always got it in the back of my mind. Well, a few weeks ago, he said, gave his wife a kiss goodbye. He said, I'm going to sleep in the truck and be homeless for a few weeks. And he salaried himself at $7 and went down to Duluth before the big rains. Slept in his truck, met people who had lost their way, people who were down and out, people who had lost their jobs. Vets, he said, I met a lot of veterans. Became friends with a couple who took him under their wing and showed him the ropes. His wife, other family members are really upset with him. Doesn't he know he can be hurt? He could be beaten, he could be, you know, freeze to death, or, no, I don't know, heat to death, or... You'd be arrested, thrown in jail? I mean, why don't you go up to UMD and take a class? You know, go down to the food places and serve and get to know people. And they went on, and I said, he's got to do his own thing. Just let him be. I mean, he's all in. He's all in, and this is the way he's got to do it. You got to let him be. And so for a couple of weeks, he was out there, and, when the rains came up in Duluth, he said down below him he could see the water filling up, and he found his way home, okay? And so I talked to him a few days later. I gave him a few days to process this whole situation. Talked to him on the phone. Like I say, he's an introvert and doesn't really talk, but I just said, tell me more. How'd you feel about that? What did you learn? And on and on and on, and had this marvelous 45-minute conversation. And he said, I asked, what did you learn? And he said, there are vets out there. There are people with mental problems. There are whole families on the street. And he used to be the kind that, you know, why don't you just get a job? Why don't you get out there and do it, you know? I mean, he had no patience or time or whatever. But he said to me, I understand now. Everybody is somebody. Everybody is somebody. And everybody has something to offer. And sometimes we're just dealt this hand and you got to play it. And for Willie, who was kind of a hard nut to say something like that, he grew. He learned. And at the end of the conversation, I said, Willie, I'm really proud of you because you put up. You know, you didn't just give it lip service, you did it. You went all in. I'm really proud of you. And on the other end of the phone, I could tell he was starting to tear up. And I thought, well, what's that all about? And as I thought about that and processed it the rest of the day, I thought, you know what, in his 65 years, I'll bet no one ever told him that someone was proud of him. And I thought, you know, in our family systems, we do some strange things to each other. I want to tell you today that you are special in God's eyes. You are a marvel in God's eyes. And He loves you. And I hope you know that. You're not out there on your own fighting. That God's in your corner, okay? I don't know if I'm proud of you. I guess I am proud of you. Should I tell one more story, John? You want to play? Ah, okay, I'll give you a quick one. Another holy smokes moment. I'm thinking about my brother. Holy smokes, he can change. Holy smokes, I can change. My daughter, those of you who are visiting, my daughter went away to a Christian college. I won't tell you which Lutheran college it is in Northfield. Yeah. But there she ran into some Bible thumpers, what I call Bible thumpers. People who will whack you over the head and say, you got to believe this way, or you're going to hell. And she said, I've got Buddhist friends. I've got friends who... You mean my friends are going to hell? Now, my daughter turns 38 tomorrow. She's the sweetest, caring, giving person you'd ever want to run into. She works with young women who have been thrown out of their house or abused with alcohol or abused sexually. She works with these people, okay, and has a heart for them. But she said, I don't believe in God anymore. Now, just to give you an aside, most folks think, no, there's a pastor who kids don't even go to church. Take care of his own. Why can't, you know, why should I go to that church? But I'll tell you something. We're all in this together. And that's some of your stories, too. So, and God loves, this is the way I've gotten a handle on this, because I'm afraid, I was at first, when I dealt with this, I was afraid that she wasn't going to go to heaven. That's the way I've been taught. But finally, I had one of those holy smokes moments. And the holy smoke moment is this, that God created each one of us, and a spark of the Creator is in my daughter. And God loves everything He creates. And it came to me that God's love is a whole lot more, God is more stubborn than our way of handling things. God, and I told my daughter, we have these ongoing conversations, I said, Kelly, this is my belief, that God loves you now and He'll love you forever. And whether you live in this world or the next, God is more stubborn than your put-upness. And one day you're going to find out that He loves you and you're going to embrace Him. And I believe that's true. And I believe Cat Stevens is okay, you know. I mean, who could not ride Peace Train and be like that? We're all in this together. That's the best thing about a church. That's what she's cutting herself off from. People who care about each other, help each other on the journey, on the road of life. That's the best thing about a church. We share the love of God and look out for each other. And because she doesn't attend a worship service, she walks away. She trusts her parents and we'll do whatever we can. You know what parents do. She has some great friends. She has a wonderful brother. But there's a community here that helps each other down the road. So I just think about this church and I say, holy smokes. Holy smokes. This is a church that can bring this wonderful up here. You guys, thanks for coming. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Another one.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Jim. Before we play this next tune, I didn't get a chance to share this with the band, and that's helped me out if you can think of the other one. But we're here today playing mostly 60s and 70s music for you. And just like Pastor Jim was saying, there's unbelievably profound messages all around us in the world, and we all may recognize them and ears will hear. I was thinking about this too, this next one we're about to play, Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds. And the lyrics from this piece are entirely, I believe, out of the book Ecclesiastes from the Old Testament. I can't think, help me out as you think of, I can't think of another hit that you would hear on the radio whose lyrics are entirely out of the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of them that write, so I don't want to take portions or make
ACDC's I made it all. Thank you.
Please rise if you are able. Please turn to the prayers of intercession. Led by the Holy Spirit and with the whole people of God in Christ, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Guide your church that, freed from the law of sin, we may delight in serving you and your gospel for the sake of all people. Hear us, O God. Bless our efforts to care for the earth and resources so that it may flourish to generation. Hear us, O God. Reveal your wisdom to the leaders of all nations, that they may lead with humility and justice. Grateful for our country's freedoms, help us work for peace around the globe. Hear us, O God. Give rest to all who are weary or burdened, those who are poor, hungry, oppressed, ill, or grieving, that they may know your peace. Hear us, O God. Empower this congregation on Christ's yoke, serving one another with gentle and humble hearts, that this community may witness the strength of your love. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings we enjoy. We pray you would be with our families and friends this holiday week. Keep them in your loving care. Keep them safe and be with all who travel. We pray that you might open our hearts and our eyes to the wonders of your creation, that we can see your hand and your holy smoke moments at work. Reinvigorate our confession of the faith until that we join the saints who have received their eternal rest in glory. Hear us, O God. Have ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, heaven, come in heaven. Give us this day our bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from thine and the forever and ever. Please bow your heads and receive. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to the good. Render to no evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you guys bring us home?
Before we launch into our little mini concert, I just want to say about that. I think the message that we have is that I think this is what our fourth year in the community members. And just it's something we're so looking forward to. If you recognize the group of some of on stage, at least one of our community or two of us have. My name is John. Right.